Welcome in, everyone, to On Texas Football. It is SEC celebration today. Jerry Hamilton and myself been out there. Rod Babers now joining us as well. It's been a long time coming, but something that happened a little more than 2 years ago now, guys, has officially come to pass with the turning of the clock tomorrow. The Texas Longhorns will officially be in the SEC. CJ Vogel and John Burrows, our intern, are still out there tonight covering the events for us. It has not gone unnoticed. There's been some news what have you. One of our friends, Paul Feinbaum, that's been on the show here at On Texas Football, is making news, as Paul likes to do. And we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. We'll talk, take your questions about recruiting as well today. A lot of stuff going on there. Jerry Hamilton, Rod Babers joining me, sponsored by Joe Brown, veteran mortgage professional. Appreciate him and his time. Saw a lot of people out there today, Jerry, that came up and said hi to you and I. It was a really fun time out there and got to see a bunch of different people. I saw, for the old timers, I got to see Super Bill Bradley back in the day.
That was awesome.
Big time. Wow. Like 13 seasons in the NFL, Rod.
Yeah. Something
that for the Eagles. He was out there talking a little smack to the Aggies, by the way. I'll have you know. We saw Jerry, you saw Anthony Hill, Jelani McDonald, Trevor Goosby,
Ryan Nibble.
Yeah, saw the commish, Greg Sankey. Jerry and I did, as well as Chris Del Conte. Congratulated him on the hire of Jim Schlossnagel. Schlossnagel himself out there and shaking hands, kissing babies, and throwing up the hook'em horns as well. Jerry, what were your thoughts on it today? I mean, you and I shared some time out there. A lot of hoopla and the slogan, it just means more. Based on what I saw today, maybe it does, frankly.
No, it does. It definitely means more. The sun meant more to my face today. I'll say that. I got ready for my Florida trip. Took a little sun to the face today. Well, look, we had about 100-150 people walk up to us and say hello, introduce themselves, fans of On Texas Football. That means another 300 were searching for Rod, but he wasn't out there. So, Rod, the love that everybody showed us was awesome. The On Texas Football's brand is growing because of all the fans out there, and they were great to talk to, just have conversations with, shake hands, meet everybody's kids. It was a lot of fun, and yeah, it means a lot. It means a lot. You could tell to the fan base. You know, it was interesting, you know, Anthony Hill, Trevor Goosby, the players are just as excited as the fans are. That I can tell you for a fact. They're just as excited. So I just think it's a great time. All around for University of Texas Athletics. Chris Del Conte had a big smile on his face today, walking around with Greg Sankey, obviously. So the setup was just like Bevo Boulevard, but a welcome to the SEC celebration. Obviously, Bobby and I didn't wait around for the Pitbull concert. We wanted to talk to you guys.
Mr. Worldwide, man.
He either did. Hey, Jerry and Rod, I'll tell you one thing. Chris Del Conte, the athletic director at the University of Texas, is not only pretty good at hiring coaches, he's pretty darn good at throwing a party.
Yes.
You know, the whole thing, what he's done with Bevo Boulevard, Rod, there's Del Conte on the right. Hey, he is not taller than me, by the way.
Yes, he is. Oh, yeah, he is.
No, he's not. He's on that edge. I'm not taller than Greg Sankey.
Bobby, what's your osteopenia kicking in a little early or what?
Hey, look what? It looks like it. It's on the tip there.
But, hey, Rod, what I was saying about CDC, he knows how to throw a party. What I saw out there today, and Jerry mentioned all the fans and stuff, it was a Longhorn gathering. You know what I mean? It was just a fun place to be and hang out and come out and visit campus. It was over on the South Lawn, Rod, right up adjacent to 21st Street from the tower. And so you and I have probably walked out 1,000 times. There's a photo I think Jerry took earlier today that is a good one. That was right in front. That was right at the steps of the fountain there, Rod, that leads up into the South Mall, the SEC media area was right behind that. And then beyond that, right on the steps of the actual tower itself, was the pit bull stage.
No, so, it is.
Hey, what do you think? I mean, Rod, in all seriousness, I think CBC, in the way he has brought together the folks on at Bevo Boulevard during game days and the improvements he's made there, parties like this where you get fans coming together, don't you think that just – I just think it builds fandom. It's what people – I mean, I can't tell you – I mean, we – Jerry and I have a reporter that works for another network / company. You know, he's out there. He brought his kids today, young kids. You know, so it's not just the fan, the true fans. I mean, it's the young kids getting out there and going on the Ferris wheel that he had out there. Little me, it's that sort of stuff that kind of makes you feel good. Yeah, you know what I mean by that. And so, Rob, what do you think of that about CDC and kind of that he's almost taken what Mac Brown used to talk about, and made it into something that actually works, you know what I mean, beyond just the football field. What are your thoughts?
It is it's palpable there when you the fan experience is what he values. You can tell he values the fan experience, and I think that goes back to something I've actually, you know, kind of in jest actually talked to CDC about. He's so accessible. Right. He's so accessible. He either on social media, he's answering, you know, random questions about porta potties and about, you know, restroom lines and stuff like that, you know, but he listens to the people. He actually listens to the fan base and he takes it into account about, you know, how to improve the fan experience. So I think his accessibility helps him actually, you know, craft whatever his vision is for the fan experience. And he also talks, he makes no bones about it. He talks about how he will go, you know, on the road, or at least his people will go on the road to other different programs to experience, you know, their athletic, you know, competitions, whatever they may be. And if they have a great idea, let's bring it here to Texas. Let's bring it. If it's a great idea, it looks like it's something really cool that we don't do, let's go do it. Let's see. He calls it R&D, rip off and duplicate. Let's take it. And so I think those two things, they show humility for a guy in his position. I mean, he doesn't have to listen to the people who talk about, you know, how the restroom was dirty or the beer line is too long or how a Chick-fil-A sandwich was cold, but he does. And whether it's pandering or whether it's actually authentic, and I think it is, authentic. It makes the Longhorn fans feel closer to him and they can relate to him. And then he is out there. You see him. If you go to a Longhorn sporting event and CDC is there, there's a good chance if you want to go talk to CDC, you probably can. He's literally accessible too on social media and when he's out there. So I'll just give him credit for that. I mean, that's, we had DeLoss Dodds, who was an amazing athletic director, one of the best athletic directors in the history of college sports, period. I don't think he had the accessibility of Chris Del Conte. I think Chris Del Conte actually enjoys it, a little bit of that. So I think that's what makes it special, is that he is continuously focused on improving the fan experience. He wants it to be. He knows that it's a pricey ticket. He understands what the common man is kind of dealing with. Hey, man, we all got, you know, we all got financial, you know, limitations, all right, disposable income, that kind of stuff. And he actually talks about that stuff, considers that kind of stuff. If you're coming to a Texas event, hey, we want to give you your money's worth, whether that be with the actual competition on the field or the court, and that be with the actual experience, the what you call kind of that, you know, it's kind of a revival, right? It's a Longhorn fan revival, and we are a family. So you want to come, you want to feel that, you know, that togetherness. You want to feel that, you know, that camaraderie. And I think that also is a part of it. So he's done a great job, man. I'm not going to lie. I don't think the fan experience has been this good for Longhorn fans, probably maybe ever. I don't know if it's ever been this good.
I say ever, Rod. I think he's done the best job making it a fun atmosphere. Now, I think social media changed the game, right? If you're smart with that, the way you promote, I think he's done a great job. One of the coolest things to me, I was just thinking back on it today. Bobby was like 5 minutes after you left. Jared Elliott and Stein Metzger walked by going to the coaches area where they're signing autographs. I was like, you know, man, that's four national championships right there. Maybe five after this year with Jared Elliott. But I mean, that's kind of where what, and I thought to myself, that's what CDC's brought to Texas.
Yep.
I mean, Jared Elliott's been here a while. Don't get me wrong. I guess Elliott has three national titles now, right? Yep. So that's actually five because Stein won two. But just thinking about Stein, Mike White's really close. You got to go over that big Oklahoma dynasty, right? The women's golf hire, I think, was a great hire. I think Schloss was a great hire just in the national championship game. And we're going to get to that. We're going to have a little bit of fun with that, no doubt. But I just thought about the national championships that walk by you when these coaches are going to sign autographs. And you're like, athletics, that's why you've run three or four Director's Cups, first of all. Second of all, that's why you can go to Arizona and hire a national championship women's golf coach to leave her alma mater. It's because of what he's done at Texas.
Yep.
It's a place when a coach calls another coach at Texas and said, should I come here? The answers are resounding yes.
You know what it is, too? And Schlossnagel alluded to this, Jerry, in his piece that he did, Q&A with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram over the weekend, is CDC gives them whatever they ask for.
Yeah.
He provides the resources they ask for. Now, if they don't succeed, CDC is the last person that says, oh, it was – he wants them to have everything they have.
Don't so come to me and say it was my fault.
Yeah, it's on them. And, you know, therefore, if that's the way it is, there can be some accountability. All right, we're going to get to some recruiting questions. A bunch of people have that, as well as some baseball news. A lot of baseball news going on right now. But first, I want to take a couple of the super chats that came in. And then get to talking about our sponsor, Joe Brown. First, this one from Travis Cadell. Thank you to Bobby, CJ, Jerry, and John Donovan. John was out there with us
today. Thank you, John Donovan.
Sponsors, the Allstate Insurance. These guys are true fans. I'm just telling you now.
Yeah.
For making memories for my son, Jackson. A bummer not seeing you, Rod. Miss you, boo. Hey, good luck to Jackson, by the way. Jackson, I don't know how Jackson, what do you think Jackson is? 8 to 10 years old? Golfer and plays the baritone. Good Ooh. Luck to Jackson there.
Talented young man.
Your family. Yeah, absolutely. He may be the athlete of the family. This one from Juan Garza. Jerry, you said Oregon will likely to hold on to their commitments. They have what we thought we're going to commit to us. If Florida becomes available and Dan Lanning possibly goes there, it could be a Mario Cristobal situation all over again. You think that? You think that Lanning might really take Florida if it opens?
I think he'll be at the top of the list. Now, will he go? I don't know. I think Florida or Georgia would be the two jobs in the SEC that could maybe pull on him a little bit. But I expect Texas to stay in contact with Josiah Sharma. I expect that to continue. I think they'll recruit through the whistle on that. I know people are hating that term right now, but there's reality to it. I think they'll continue on with their top targets now. What will happen? I do think Oregon will have a really good season on the field. So it will come down to if Florida opens, I think the three names you'll hear are Dan Lanning, Lane Kiffin, and Eli Drinkwitz. Which way it goes, I don't know. I think Lanning will be the number one choice. Will he take it? I don't know. Oregon's got a war chest.
Yes. Yes. War chest, and I mean, look, they may have war chests, plural.
Yes.
All right. Hey, I want to say thank you to our friend Joe Brown. Like the recruiting industry, there's actually rankings for mortgage professionals, and Joe is a 5-star for 13 years. Joe has more than 3 decades overall of experience helping more than 4,000 families to finance their homes and buy investment properties. He also helped me with my very first home mortgage more than 25 years ago. Joe's a lifelong Longhorn fan with 2 degrees from the University of Texas and has helped many former UT athletes and professors with their real estate financing. Joe's a proud U.S. Navy vet and is committed to serving his fellow vets with no down payment VA loans up to $2 million. Southside Bank has been based in Texas for more than 60 years, but can also do mortgage loans in most other states. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. If you're looking for a mortgage, that's 512-663-4744. Thanks very much to Joe and his group. Hey, Laura Ionello just said on TV, When CDC calls, that's the new women's golf coach, you answer. And she got re-energized because he wanted her.
Look, she's an Arizona grad that won a national championship.
At Arizona?
Yes, at Arizona. She left her alma mater. Says a lot. She had just moved into her new facility and still left. So, hey, I wanted to bring this one up because I think this is important. QWERTY. I think about Michigan's national title team. They didn't have a bunch of 4 stars and 5 stars on the D-line. They had stallions, but still their D-line was dominant because they were developed properly. And I want to say that's a great, great point he brought up. Because when you watched Michigan dominate Washington and everybody else last year, they weren't 5-star recruits. There were some mid 4 stars, some low 4 stars, and a few 3 stars. But they developed those guys.
Yep.
100% true what he said.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm going to back out of this. I'm going to back out of this for 1 minute to see if I can't get my connection better. So you guys go for it. Jerry and Rod, y'all take over, okay?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Hey, to your point, Jerry, just real quick to your point, remember that the blue chip ratio, which Buddy Elliott does a really good job with, they recently did the blue chip ratio. Remember, Michigan's blue chip ratio was 54% with it's this year 54% with transfers. Right. You go look at it last year in 20, it was 59% in 2022. It was 54% in 2023. Yeah. To that point about the next day, their blue chip ratio not as high as Bama, which is 90% to 80%, Georgia, Ohio 100%. State. They're a little lower on the blue chip ratio poll, just getting to your point about the development factor.
And I think that's important for Sarkisian and the guys to think about and look at as well. Look, Chase Sims, Richmond Randall, Derry Norris, Spruce Creek in Port Orange, Florida. Those guys, to me, good enough players to be at Texas and develop those guys. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll be very interested to see what Texas does. You got to get more shots on goal at that position, in my opinion. We've been talking about this for a while. You got to get more shots on goal. If you're going to get 2 or 3 national out-of-state D linemen, and you're just going to go after those mid 4-star guys and up, you better get 10 on campus to get 2 or 3. It's just going to be the way it is. I think you need to continue to mix in developmental guys with size as well on defensive front.
Hey, Jerry, I want to go straight to this super chat because he's kind of hitting on the same topic. Slick Rick, thank you for the super chat, guys. Trenches is the key in the SEC. Texas is missing out on Josiah Sharman, Kevin Wynn, Zion Williams, Myron Charles. Yeah, I mean, that's 4 of the 5 that are 3 of the 5 that visited Texas, plus 1 of the 2 in-state players that Texas offered at defense tackle. And if LSU steals Brandon Brown, is it time to panic? Why is it Texas going all in on D-line like other schools? Bo leaving was a huge blow. Is Baker not all in? There's a lot to dissect there. So kind of take it one at a time. Let's start with this. Is it time to panic? Yes, no. Jerry?
No, it's not time to panic. I think it's been some tough hits, though. Let's see what Brandon Brown does. If he does flip, that's going to be some tough hits. There's no doubt about it. But I do think it's – is it time to panic? No. I do think it's going to go – it's going to be tougher to go back in and flip guys unless there's a coaching change. I will say that. I don't think it's just as easy as saying, we'll just go flip some guys senior year. There has to be some chain of events that are going to lead to that. So we'll see. Time to panic? No, because the portal always takes away your panic. But I will say this. In 2026, they have to get more shots on goal. That's my pure opinion. If you're going to recruit nationally because the state of Texas isn't producing enough of those guys on the interior that Texas deems Texas good, then you have to get more shots on goal. It's the only way it's going to work nationally.
All right. So why is it – here's the second part of this for me, and I'm going to answer this one. Why isn't Texas going all in on D-line like other schools? They are. You know, there's been one and possibly 2 instances now of guys going over the top of Texas, but it hasn't been this, you know, broad stroke. I mean, Myron Charles, they didn't go over the top for of Texas for that. Zion Williams, same thing. Kevin Wynn, same thing. That the part of the issue here is that Texas is recruiting guys from other people's home territories. Mm-hmm. So if you're in South Georgia, Jerry, you're going to have a higher proclivity to end up at Florida State than you are at Texas. That's just natural. I mean, it's Tallahassee's in the panhandle of Florida. It just, it's natural. So to say that Texas isn't doing that, that's not the case. Texas got Sadir Mitchell over Georgia, Florida, A&M, LSU, et cetera. Texas does that. Okay. Don't kid yourself. And so I think that the reality of it is there have been two instances where that was potentially the case. And I don't think it's because Sark's not trying to, not aware of it. I just don't think you can blow up your entire roster and from a compensation standpoint, probably because of one individual recruit. You do that, you're risking more problems than just one for a guy that's not even on campus yet, by the way, and won't be for 6 months at the very soonest. So that's where I'm at, Slick Rick. I do think losing Bo was a little bit of a problem, but I don't know that it was. I don't know that it's been the singular piece to the puzzle here. I think it's been a number of different factors. All right, this one's from Sean, guys. Save this super chat, Matt, our producer in the background. Do this, please. Save this super chat because Texas will win the SEC in its first year in the conference. Hey, guys, if you haven't been out to the grocery stores lately, not only is Dave Campbell's Texas football getting ready to be out there, but Phil Steele's national magazine will be out there as well. Rod Babers, I know that's your kind of magazine because all it does is have stats in it.
You like
Phil Steele's publication?
So I can go down the rabbit hole, man. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I want to go down the rabbit hole. You get to know all the different teams a little bit. I mean, I know you can obviously just go online and do it. I'm old school, guys. Look at all the papers I got in the background. See all the papers and stuff I got? I'm old school, man. I got tablets and stuff everywhere. So I like Phil Steele. I want to go do some rabbit holing, if you will. Thank you very much, Matthew. I appreciate that. I think most of those publications have Texas either first or second, probably second behind Georgia in the SEC. So Texas winning the SEC is not out there on a limb. I mean, there are a lot of people that pick Texas and Georgia to be facing off in the SEC title game this year. That's the two top teams in the SEC.
Now, does he mean SEC title in the championship game, or does he mean just regular season title? That's the question.
That's true. It's a good point.
And I'm just wondering, because Georgia's got a much tougher schedule than they've had in recent years. I mean, at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. That's three real road games for Georgia. If they drop two of those, somebody else could take the regular season crown.
Hey, I've got to ask y'all this. This is a going back to this one, Jerry. Talking about recruiting and NIL. Should the strategy be to save NIL for proven players out of the portal versus recruiting classes? Seems like more of a sure thing. I actually agree with that at some level, but the problem with that is how many of those proven guys are actually going to be available when the time comes versus if you build your own guys up from the very start. That's where you can get in trouble. You agree with me on that, Jerry?
Well, the problem is if you're just talking D-line here, the problem is it's mostly one-year guys. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia let Bear Alexander go for a reason. Okay? Not that they don't have a lot of D-linemen, but he's very talented. But they just were like, no. So some of those guys that are multiple-year guys, you don't really want anyways. I mean, is he very talented? Yes. Does that mean he'd have fit in? No. And that's where there are reservations about it when he first went in the portal. And let's see what Bear Alexander does this year. Because for all his talent, let's just see what he does. But the problem is, on D-line, you still have to develop guys. You still have to take enough high school guys to develop them. Because the blue chip war daddies, whatever you want to call them. Then remember all the talk about Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. They're way too valuable for these teams to let go in the portal. They're not. The first, second round guys aren't going to the portal. And that was even with a coaching change at Michigan. New DC, new head coach, new strength coach, all of it. They didn't go in the portal. Those guys, those schools will fight tooth and nail to keep those guys on their roster. So you can get some quality players. Savea, quality player. Norton, quality player. Jermaine Lole, if he's healthy, he's better than all of them. But those are one-year guys, and those aren't first, second-round draft pick types. You're not going to get those guys in the portal unless something blows up at a school. So you have to develop defensive linemen. Now, at wide receiver, you can. At tight end, you can. Edge, I mean, FSU got Jared Verse. That was a two-year player. If you really do a good job scouting, you may be able to get a two-year guy that can make a difference at some other spots, but the majority of guys are going to be one-year players or 2 years of eligibility, but coming over for one year playing and going off to the NFL. So D-line is still very much a developmental position, and you have to have the right mix.
Yep. And still, if you're just looking at it from a more and more professional perspective, like the NFL and the NFL draft and the NFL free agency, then basically traditional recruiting is always the most cost-effective way to build a roster. I mean, you're going to get the most ROI, the most bang for your buck will be – you know, getting to do traditional recruiting because those guys will be in your program for longer. And the guys coming through the transfer portal, you won't have them, as Jerry said, for that long. So I just think ultimately for Texas, not every university can operate this way, but for Texas, I think still you got to keep a healthy balance in mostly traditional recruiting just because that's where you're going to get the most bang for your buck as a program and roster construction.
And by the way, if you want these coaches to have the correct resume to say they develop players, taking one-year guys out of the portal that go in the fourth or fifth round is not that. That's if you want to be able to recruit to player development, you can't do that in the portal consistently. You have to develop players. So I think what will be interesting with Texas moving forward at D-line is do they take a guy in each class, say a Derry Norris at Spruce Creek, who's 6'5", 6'4", 270. Is he the level player right now that Josiah Sharma, Kevin Wynn, Myron Charles, Brandon Brown is? No. Is his upside very high? Absolutely. I think you have to find a place in your program for those guys every year.
All right. We've got some more questions coming in here. Including some super chats. Justin Yarbrough, is Jackson Blackwell, I think he's at Lorena, right, Jerry, big defensive tackle, a guy we can keep an eye on during the season for an offer? I believe Coach Baker will be better set up for success in recruiting next year. You agree with both of those takes there,
Jerry? I do for next year, but you still have to go get it done. People like I get understand Texas fans saying, I don't care about 2026. I care about now. I get 100% what they're saying. I do think when you have a full year to recruit and evaluate, you're in a better position. But because you're going to cast a wider net, you're going to have some relationships, you're going to find some ends, some relationships, and you're going to have time to recruit those kids. But I get Texas fans saying, I don't care about that. I care about the now, because the now is just as important. But Jackson Blackwell, I don't know. I think he's an intriguing prospect because he's so strong but yet quick. But I don't know if he's the type of guy you can just come in and flip. I think relationships are going to be very important for that kid and that family. Just been around at a regional track meet, talking to him, district track meet, talking to his family. Relationships, very important. There's certain guys maybe you could come in and flip. I'm not sure he's going to be one of them. We'll have to see if Texas does make a move.
Yep. Good stuff there, Jerry. Another question that we have here, comments, a couple comments. Rod, Jerry Hambledon, fellow Longhorns and family, hook them. Thanks. Thank you. I think that's you, T-Boy.
T-Boy. Right there. Thank you very much.
Juan Garza saying, Kenny Baker hasn't shown anything on the field. If he has a great year, recruiting will take off, will take care of itself, and go from there and recruit to the whistle. We agree with that comment there. Here's one from Katie35, I'm the best. Will Texas go over the top on a dude like DK Moore? This is the question you and I, Jerry, kind of contemplated. Look, Texas lost to Sharma to Oregon, and now also Dorian Brew, the corner out of Conroe, committed to Oregon. DK Moore, the wide receiver out of Duncanville, now that Oregon is continuing to do, we can't lose him. Also, any idea who Texas plans to invite to the pool party? That's the get-together at the end of the month of July that should go a little bit further in recruiting. Your take on that, Jerry?
I think we'll answer the first one better, because I think Oregon's going to come. What's more than double barrels? Whatever that is. I mean, whatever's more than that, they're coming. Look, guys like Rod say, that guy's really good. So Oregon's coming more than double barrels. I think that the hand's going to be forced there. I'll say that. With what we're seeing at Oregon right now, gird up your loins. That's all I got to say about that.
All right. Hey, we got some baseball news we need to get to. Thank you all for the discussion here. We got some more news coming as well. CJ and our intern John Burrow still at the get together there in Austin right now, having a little fun, getting ready to hear Greg Sankey and Chris Del Conte talk. Sankey, of course, the SEC commissioner. But we need to take a minute and discuss some baseball news that broke beginning late last night. I'm told that Texas A&M tried to get Tony Vitello, the head baseball coach at the University of Tennessee. They were in discussions yesterday evening, and Vitello decided to stay at Texas or at Tennessee. And the Aggies hired Michael Early, an assistant on Jim Schlossnagle's staff. His bio was already up as an assistant coach on the University of Texas website. Now he is the new head coach of the Texas A&M Aggies. And by the way, it is his first head coaching experience in 8 years of college ball. So we'll see how that goes over. I think the Aggie brass wanted a bigger name and tried to, and just didn't connect with either him or with Skip Johnson out of Oklahoma as well. A couple of notes as it relates to that. Two of the key assistants for the University of Texas will be staying with Jim Schlossnagle. That is Max Weiner. He's known as the arm farm. He's the guy, the pitching coach for the Aggies last year that did so well. Now he is staying at Texas with Schlossnagle. Also, Nolan Kane, the recruiting coordinator that recruited so many of those elite prospects that A&M put out there this season, is staying with Schlossnagle, and it's actually on the road recruiting today. I think we broke one of these two hires, but Drew Bishop, a former Texas staffer, will be, I think, the director of baseball ops returning to Texas, along with Jerry Troy Tulowitzki. When we were there earlier today, CDC, when we talked to CDC a little earlier today, he was chirping about that. He was happy that Tulo was coming back to the 40 acres as a assistant coach. So
Rod, Bobby,
baseball news.
You know what my thought was? You know what my thought was on Troy Vitello? Ha ha, A&M, he'd have taken the Texas job.
Wow.
He may have.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Won that national title and told Tennessee, thanks for the memory. It's Coach Barnes, a real estate agent. I'm headed to Austin. College Station. No, I don't think I can do it.
All right. Hey, Jerry, I'm going to stick with you. I got to stick with you because it's a basketball question. We talked a little bit about basketball today, Jerry, you and I. With the addition of Kaluma, what does the starting lineup and rotation look like for basketball? I like our team this year from top to bottom. We were talking with some folks, and Jerry, you really do like this basketball team the way it's set up right now.
I do. Yeah, I do. So Kaluma and Tremont Mark won't be there till second semester. Tremont Mark's been maybe down a couple times, but, he's finished up school.
When you say second semester, do you mean not till January? Summer. Second summer session. Okay.
Yeah, I believe that's when – so because they're finishing up some schoolwork, both those guys. And because when Texas first started looking at Kaluma, I posted on Texas Football. I'm not sure he can get in because I think it was kind of touch and go there, but it looks like obviously that's going to happen. But I love the guards on this team, guys. I talked to somebody today that – again, that Jordan Pope's really good. Trey Johnson is maybe the best player in the gym most days, and he's a freshman. He looks like a lottery pick, first-round pick. Texas has not had a 6'6 shooting guard that is that level player. Not in my years doing this. They've had point guards. They've had KD. They've had the bigs. They haven't had that true 6'6 shooting guard that is, could be a 12-year, 14-year NBA player that can score 20 a game in the league. They have that. Jordan Pope can go get his own shot. Tremont Mark's going to be able to go get his own shot. Texas is going to have three guys that when the shot clock breaks down and half-court offense breaks down, you can say, go get us a bucket, and they can go get a bucket. Texas hadn't had three of those guys. I'm telling you, though, Jason Kent, Julian Larry, the Indiana State transfers are going to make this thing go because those guys really know how to play. If you just watch Jason Kent, and you can watch his highlights, and a lot of his plays are not ball-in-hand plays. They are basketball plays away from the ball. Texas didn't have enough of that last year. They had a bunch of one-on-one players. Max Asemus, who I think is very good, didn't have enough of the know-how-to-plays players around him. Trey Johnson coming into Texas, who knows how to play, is going to have a bunch of know-how-to-play guys around him. The backcourt's going to be much, much, much better because of go-get-your-own-shot guys, size on the perimeter. I think the biggest thing, I've said this before, when Kaluma gets in, when Mark gets in, and when this team starts working out as a team, are these guys going to defer at the right times to the right players? And when one of those guys is a freshman, for older players, Rod, it's hard to defer sometimes.
Yep.
But to maximize this team, some guys are going to have to drop the egos, leave them at the door a little bit, and defer at certain point in times in games and situations for this team to maximize. If Rodney, Frank, and the staff, Steve McClain, can bring it together, they're going to be a lot better than last year because their guards are going to be a lot better.
Rod, let me ask you this. Jerry just really did a good job of elucidating some key points. One is there are know-how players that make plays without the ball.
Yep.
Yet he also talked about guys being able to score when you need to score. That's just sports, right? I mean, that those two things that he just talked about, he just basically labeled a winning team.
Yeah.
Because guys that do stuff, do the dirty work, and know how to get it done, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is the idea that you have somebody, when the chips are on the line, you can actually rely on to go get it done.
Yep.
You agree with that?
Clutch players and problem solvers, right? You know, guys out there who can solve problems out there on the field, on the court, in their own. And then clutch players, because when it comes down to it, especially in championship competition, you're probably going to end up in a clutch situation where you need somebody to make those plays. And we saw that from Texas football this past season, right? We saw several guys step up in clutch situations, make those big plays defensively, offensively. You know, so I think every sport, that's what you want. I mean, the problem solving thing, you know, I was talking to, you know, some other coaches about this before, but, and Vic Schaefer was big on it. You know, once you really can develop and mold a player, right, into someone who has the IQ, whatever, basketball, football IQ, and once you can mold them into being kind of a version of you on the court or on the field as a coach, that's what you pride yourself on. Not really having to input that much as a coach, because your players themselves are also solving some of those problems. So that's kind of what Jerry's talking about, you know, out there with this new roster. You may have some of those guys like that. And, of course, you're going to need clutch playmakers. The beauty of it is, for Texas basketball, you know, you won't have the Big 12 to deal with. And nothing against the SEC. It's a good basketball conference. Ain't nothing like the Big 12 when it comes to college basketball. So you're essentially leaving the most competitive college basketball environment and ecosystem to go into the SEC. So at least the roster is different. So those guys may not necessarily have the, you know, the advantages of that experience, but the coaches do. And Coach Terry and them, I mean, they've been coaching in one of the best, if not the best, basketball conference in the country. That should translate to your time in the SEC.
Let's tie this from football to basketball. Tom Bregman. A.D. Mitchell was clutch for Georgia. And he was clutch at Texas.
True that.
Who's going to be the clutch transfer for Texas this year? Who's going to be the clutch players? And a lot of people say it's got to be Quinn. Well, no. when the ball's in the air, somebody sometimes, Rod, you know this, has to go make a play against a really good DB. 50-50 ball against Georgia in the fourth quarter. 50-50 ball in Ann Arbor in the fourth quarter. Who? That's kind of my question for the Texas offenses. And I love the speed. It's a faster team 1 through 85, faster team on offense in a year ago as a whole. But who's going to go make the winning plays in the fourth quarter? I think that is still to be determined with this offense this year.
It is with the offense. With the defense, I would look to two guys, Jermaine Lole and Trey Moore of the transfers.
And Anthony Hill. And it's of the transfers, yep.
The transfers. Of the transfers. So there's obviously some other guys involved there as well. Yep. Hey, I want to mention a couple of super chats here. 8035, I am the best at, with another. With Texas being Texas, to who runs the state now, sorry, little bro, what is going to keep Texas from locking down the borders from Oregon, Ohio State, LSU, and OU from taking top talent out of the state? Here's the reality of it, guys. You're never going to be able to lock down the borders. Texas is next to too many different people, or too many different big programs, and too many other programs rely on Texas talent, that's where they're pushing their funds towards Texas high school players.
I mean, and here's the other part of it. Here's the other part of it, Bobby. Think about how many people have moved into Texas. Think about how many people have moved into Florida. Think about how many people have moved into the greater Atlanta area and in Georgia. Kirby, now maybe Kirby eclipses it this year, but I always use this because he's on top of college football. He's averaged signing 3 or 4 of the top 10 players in the state. This may be the first year he gets 6. And that's with Georgia Tech as your other in-state team. But that's not the competition. It's Clemson. It's Auburn. It's Alabama. It's FSU. Maybe a little of Tennessee on one guy. And Ohio State tries. But so many people have moved into these states. And I've said it before. I'm a broken record. These kids don't grow up with Texas and Texas A&M jerseys on. Not as many of them. So – you're not going to keep all the kids in the greater Atlanta area because they didn't all grow up Georgia Bulldogs. In the state of Florida's changed so much. And the same for Texas. I consider 3.5 on average, 4 guys out of a top 10 is a really good year. If you ever eclipse that in Texas, you've had a whale of recruiting year because the competition's real. It's A&M, who's going to be better with Elko, a better program under Elko, because it's going to have better culture and toughness. Oklahoma, Venable's showing some signs. USC has to recruit Texas. They don't have enough linemen in California. You're going to have Oregon. They want to recruit in Texas so bad. That's why they added Rashad Samples to Will Stein. Alabama still recruiting in Texas. It's Oklahoma. If you can sign 3 or 4 out of the top 10, you've had a good year. If you go beyond that, you've had an unbelievable year recruiting in state. Because here's the reality, too, about that. Because a lot of people say, well, Texas only signed 3 of the top 10 in state a couple of years ago. Well, one of those was Jackson Arnold. You're going to turn down Arch Manning to take a Texas kid? No. One of those was Derek Williams, you turned down a safety for Derek Williams. Peyton Bowen, Derek Williams. If you think Derek Williams is better, I get it. If you're you're not always going to go after all the top 10 players in the state if there's somebody out of state at a position that you deem better.
All right, good stuff, Jerry. This one coming in from Slick Rick. If Texas beats Michigan and Georgia in the season, do they have a shot at flipping any of these D-line recruits they missed? I'm worried about our rush D, hoping Sadir can bloom this season. Two-part question there about flipping potential candidates. You said synopsize what you said,
Jerry. Because I want to ask Rod about the last part of this question.
Okay, yeah, I do. That's a good point. So on the Michigan and Georgia wins, Jerry thinks Texas will continue to recruit Josiah Sharma. Zion Williams is getting ready to commit to LSU on July 4th. Texas is not stopping recruiting Zion Williams. Okay. So there are a couple, but I think Myron Charles, I think might have run its course. And I think Kevin Wynn definitely ran its course as well. We'll also wait and see what happens with DJ Sanders out of Belleville. Now, Jerry, and now Rod, this is you.
Yeah,
I'm worried about our rush beat. Yeah, for it.
So, Rod, here's what I want you to talk about. What will Texas do? If it's solid defensive linemen, no superstars, but solid guys, a couple of guys that may be a fifth-round pick, free agents. Alfred Collins could get drafted in the second round if he has a great year. Mm-hmm. But the rest of those guys are more, and who knows with Lole's health. He wouldn't be a high draft pick if he played like it this year because of all the injuries. But with better edge guys, what is Texas going to do? Are they going to run? You think they could run more games up front because the edge pressure is going to be more magnified on quarterbacks and offensive tackles? If the edge pressure comes through, how's that going to help the interior of the defensive line?
I think if you're just looking at projecting what the kind of Johnny Nansen influence could be, you could see more run blitzes early on early downs, try to penetrate. If you're not getting enough penetration from that interior D line to reset the line of scrimmage, simply Texas could just add another guy to the box. Last year, Texas was the best team in the country in defending a run with a light box, fewer defenders than they have blockers, which makes perfect sense, right? You got DeAndre Swift and Byron Murphy. They won't necessarily have that advantage this season, so I expect them to bring that extra safety down in the box. That goes also to the Johnny Nansen influence. At Arizona, they played single high safety about 70-plus percent of the time. That was a cover three, cover one looks usually. If you're going to play cover three and cover one, you're bringing that extra safety down into the box to help with the run so you can even out or actually, you know, have the numbers advantage. And I think that's what you may see Texas do a little bit more of. If they cannot hold up against the run, bring the other guy down the box. If that's the case, then they will be somewhat exposed on the outside with their corners. That's when you're going to need your corners to really show up. Now, if they like Malik Muhammad, you can see them roll coverage to the other side, help out the other corner that way, leave Malik Muhammad on a bit of an island, but also be able to help out with the run with the extra man in the box. So those are two, three things that I think you can see early on, more run blitzes in the interior D-line. You can see them play more single high safeties because that's Johnny Nansen's kind of MO, bring that extra defender down in the box. And then they can just go with some man coverage principles. And, you know, if that's the case, then you got to really trust your corners. And I think they trust most of them. Not sure about the corner opposite Malik Muhammad, though.
Hey, Bobby, can I say one thing real quick before we get that next super chat? So I want to – Justin asked early in this chat about schedule of decisions. He said commitments, but I think he meant decisions this week. So Smith Arogbo out of Hastings, talked to him this morning. His is tomorrow, July 1st. Probably Texas or Oklahoma, maybe Washington or Texas Tech, but probably Texas or Oklahoma. But again, look, that's 24 hours out. You guys have seen what happened.
That changed, by the way, from Friday.
It did change from Friday. Yeah. I thought it was, it looked more Texas, Washington. Now it's more Texas, Oklahoma. We'll see. We're all going to take a breath here. July 5th, Jonathan Cunningham, talked to him this afternoon. That's Texas. Utah, TCU, the linebacker, four-star linebacker out of North Crowley. July 6th, Cade Phillips, the four-star defensive back out of Missouri City Hightower, Texas or LSU. Think Texas in a pretty good position there. We'll see. Does a Nathan Tillman, does a couple other guys commit this week, move up some dates, change some dates? Those are three we're watching with Smith Arogbo first in the next 24 hours.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, I want to say this. There are a couple of things in here that I thought were funny. Hey, guys, how did the players you guys see in person today look? Are we SEC ready? Prove it on the field, and then the recruits will come. I'll tell you this much. I did not see Jelani McDonald or Trevor Goosby today. I had just left when they showed up. But I saw Anthony Hill, and he looks pretty good. And by the way, Anthony Hill's dad looks like he might be able to play some ball too.
It's in the jeans, man.
What'd you think of Jelani McDonald and Trevor Goosby, Jerry? After one full year in the weight training program of Torrey Becton.
I posted a photo of Trevor Goosby on Texas Football. Arms look very long, as you'd expect. He has gained 50 pounds since he committed to Texas. Looks really good physically. Anthony Hill looked tremendous. Jelani McDonald looks like he looks. I mean, he looks like a guy that we wondered if he'd be a linebacker, but the reality is he's going to be a 210-pound safety. I think that's where he's destined to be. I think Texas has him in the right spot. We'll see how that develops over time. But all three of those guys, Ryan Niblett, saw him too, solid 195 pounds. not a lot of the players were out there, Bobby, which was interesting. Maybe they came for the Pitbull concert, right? Or maybe since Rod wasn't out there, they stayed home. But because they like talking to Rod. But all four of those guys look good. Trevor Goosby looks really good. I can't wait to see what he looks like next spring. Because next spring is going to be his go time, because this is one more year of development, which he understands, which his family understands. That's always been very important for them. They're not rushing this process. His go time is going to be in the spring.
Got it. Hey, I got to ask this one from Texas Boy. Can we all donate money and you go buy us a DL, Bobby? We can start saving for 2026. What else can we do? I tell you what, frankly, TexasOneFund.org. Every little bit helps. That's TexasOneFund.org. I do believe that Texas is very competitive in NIL. So I think a lot of people are misunderstanding what went on the last 48 hours. It was a culmination of several different factors. In one situation, I think it did play a factor, but it wasn't because Texas wasn't competitive. It said somebody just said, I'm gonna go over the top. Yeah. And Texas doesn't necessarily want to do that, because then that causes trickle down effect on the rest of the team and the rest of the, not just the recruits, but the roster itself. So you have to wait and watch on this. All right, hey, guys, we've got some time now as we close up a little bit here in about another 10, 15 minutes. Paul Feinbaum, our friend over at ESPN, he likes to stir the pot.
Oh, boy.
The very best of them, guys. You know he does. And he had this to say earlier today. Matt, add that to the screen there. I'll read this to the guys as we can right here.
Oh, yeah.
Is it this one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I don't need to tiptoe around it. Arch Manning will be the guy that is the starter at the end of the year for the University of Texas. That is guaranteed. What do you think about that, Rod Babers?
Yeah, and he was pretty. I mean, I saw the audio of it. I saw the video of it, I should say, and heard it. He sounded like he was pretty adamant and pretty sure of it. He didn't give any details on how that would happen and why it would be happening. So to me, if you're gonna play out the hypothetical, it would either be, I'm knocking on wood, Quinn Ewers gets injured, never wins the job back, or Quinn Ewers doesn't play well and he is benched, which that would mean the season isn't going as planned, because I don't think Sark would bench him after one bad game. I think he'd have like multiple bad games, and I don't think he'd have multiple bad games and Texas still win and get benched. I think that multiple bad games and Texas lose those games, and so the consequences will be so dire that he'd be like, hey, I have no choice but to put in Arch. So he didn't say how it would happen. That's my thing. And I think it would have to be a lot of different, you know, that'd be certain dominoes that would have to fall in order for Arch to win that job this season. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I think it'd have to be a multifactorial, like, kind of events that, you know, kind of a multifactorial kind of sequence of events that happens.
I've got a little bit of bad news for him. The people that are hoping that Quinn Ewers gets hurt, and I'm talking about some opponents, based on what we've been told, and Jerry, you and I were talking to CJ Vogel, who was out at the Manning Passing Academy for 2 days this week, guys. Quinn's looking a lot better, a lot more physical than he did a year ago. His year last year was about getting himself in shape.
Yeah.
This year, it's about adding size. And according to CJ, he's looking a lot better in that regard. Now, he's still never going to be built like a tree trunk or anything like that from his waist down. And he's not real thick across the shoulders, but better than what he has been.
I think this armor he was on. I was told he was 208 to 210 a week ago. I think that was confirmed out at Manning Passing Academy. The goal is to be 215 by the start of the season. And he was about 195 to 198 last season. So he's put on considerable strength, good weight to that frame after stripping that frame down and rebuilding it. So I think 215 is the goal by the start of the season, and he's on track for that. And like you said, Bobby, he's never going to be a 235-pound guy. That's not his frame. I do think he'll be a 220-pound guy, 222 maybe, when he maximizes his frame.
All right. So we just said we love Paul Feinbaum, right? Because love the minute him. he says something about controversial about Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning that goes against type, he follows it up with something like this, guys. I've covered the SEC for a couple years now, guys, more than 40. I think this is the single biggest moment in the history of the league. It is that big. Paul Feinbaum on Texas officially joining the SEC. So, I mean, I tell you, the guy knows how to stir it up with the absolute best of it. We were on a text chain, me, Rod, and Jerry today. This is one of the things about the SEC. The Big 12 doesn't have a guy like this.
No.
I mean, if there was a media figure like this in the Big 12, they might not have a job, or they'd be on like Fox 3 or whatever. You know,
you're right. They don't. Probably, I don't even know. The Big 10 doesn't have one either.
That's why I responded to somebody's tweet, and I was like, welcome to the SEC.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get guys that are larger than life in some ways. All right, going to get one last super chat in, and then we'll hit some other questions as well. Talk about our friend Joe Brown. It's Lep. Now, what a great week for Longhorn Nation. Recruiting will pick up. I wonder if anyone said biggest moment in SEC history when A&M joined.
Well, teams that wanted to continue to win the West thought it was a big deal.
Wow.
Wow. Rodney, what?
Wow.
That's Jerry's got away, doesn't he?
it's dry. It's dry, but it's a jab, man. He twisted in there.
He takes a knife and just it in slowly.
Look, and I was a big fan of, like, I told people A&M was going to have the number one class in 2022. Look, you could see it coming a mile away with what was going on, but you have to go get the bright guys, and they did not in that class, and we talked about that. But what's their record in the SEC?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, hey, I want to say thank you, if I get a chance here, to please, for Joe Brown and his support of On Texas Football. Like the recruiting rankings, there are actually star rankings given out for mortgage professionals. Joe Brown is a five-star mortgage professional. He has more than three decades of experience helping more than 4,000 families to finance homes and investment properties. Joe's a lifelong Longhorn fan with 2 degrees from the University of Texas and has helped many former UT athletes and professors with their real estate financing. If you're self-employed, you may know that getting a mortgage can be more challenging than ever. That's why Joe's experience in lending to business owners can make the process much smoother. Give him a call, 512-663-4744. If you're looking for a mortgage, that's 512-663-4744. Joe, a true Longhorn fan to the very core. Hey, Jerry, we spent a lot of time talking about defensive tackle recruiting. And I think that there's a good question here that is asked, and I'm trying to find it. Bobby and Jerry, here it is from Hunter Bradford. Let me read this to you guys because I kind of want to end it on this one because we had such a big, long discussion on defensive tackle. Bobby and Jerry, you continue to point out that the state of Texas doesn't produce a number of high caliber defensive linemen. We just talked about that. Texas has only truly went after two defensive tackles in the state of Texas this year. He goes, but the state of Oregon, Oklahoma, Ohio don't either. Maybe I don't understand. What makes Texas different than those other situations?
Well, I think Ohio it may be a little interesting. I think they're more of a national brand right now for some kids. Larry Johnson, just the years and years that they've been good in a row. But look, Oregon has that same issue. They've got to go get guys. Why do you think a guy in Northern California for them was so important at the end of the day? Because it's hard for Oregon to go into Florida. Look what just happened to USC. 2 5-star D linemen committed. Not anymore. Gone. One already went back, one already committed to Georgia. The other one will go to Georgia or Alabama, right? So it's hard. It's tough sledding. Oklahoma, they don't produce enough Division I prospects, period. So Oklahoma, when they run into an issue in recruiting, that's why I think you've seen them. Now, Bobby likes it. We talk about St. Louis, Kansas City, but it's why I think you've seen them work Washington, D.C. a lot of late on OL, DL. Because if Texas is good and Texas A&M, see, NIL to me has changed some things for Oklahoma recruiting. And doesn't mean they didn't win with Dominic Williams, that maybe they win with some other guys. But as a whole, it's made it tougher with A&M and Texas from an NIL perspective. So they have more pressure than ever to me to really go get it done nationally. But the interesting thing about Texas DTs, and I want to say this because I want to be fair to the kids out there too, guys. Just because Texas doesn't see a lot of these in-state guys as necessarily Texas level right now. I mean, Landon Rink's committed to Mike Elko. Chase Sims from Richmond Randall, he may end up at A&M or somewhere similar. Dylan Battle at Mansfield Timberview, probably going to end up at LSU. So schools are taking these guys. So we're not saying they're not good players. I want to be clear about that.
Very important. And it's one thing because I think Texas was swinging for some home runs.
Yeah,
to your point, Sark wanted to take big swings early, and I think that's what he did. I will add this, okay? Here's what makes Texas unique in comparison to two of those three schools, okay? Y'all said it. Oregon and Oklahoma never, ever create enough in-state talent. So historically, they know going into a year, before even they start evaluating, they got to go out of state for their players. They start out of state. I mean, Oklahoma, yes, they recruit the state of Oklahoma, and Brent Venables will say, well, we got to really be really good. They recruit more in the state of Texas and California and Florida than they do the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Okay, so just chalk that up. They do that. Oregon, there may be five guys in the state of Oregon that Oregon even wants to walk on, so much less signed a scholarship. Okay. Ohio State is strategically different, but they have changed in the last 20 years with something that Jerry was talking about earlier, and that's the number of people that have moved out of the Rust Belt states to the Deep South and the Sun Belt instead. Okay, so they may have one guy a year that they want, but they're accustomed to going out of the state for all of their big defensive tackles. I mean, they went to Hawaii for a guy. They went to South Florida for the Boses. I mean, that's what they do. And Texas is different than that because some years the state of Texas has enough and some years they don't. So you catch yourself going back and forth. Furthermore, Texas hasn't been on an upswing as long. To Jerry's point, Ohio State's been on an upswing. Oregon's been on an upswing. Oklahoma has won how many Big 12 championships compared to Texas in the last 10 years? Those teams have been better situated on winning football games. And so I think that it's put Texas in a precarious position. We will see, Hunter, how it plays out if Texas continues to win. Because if Texas continues to win, I bet that number stays at 2 to 3 in-state, and they start cherry-picking out-of-state if they can. But they got to win.
I want to say this about Ohio State. So if you look at their interior D-line on this team this year, Will Smith, really good player, in-state guy. They have a decent player in-state. Stafford, Virginia, Eric Mensa. Fort Washington, Maryland, DeMatha Catholic, Jason Moore. Then you have a kid in Atlanta, which they've been recruiting there. Ty Hamilton, Pickering, Ohio. They have some in-state. Tyleek Williams, Manassas, Virginia. See, they're getting guys from areas that they've gotten guys from for a long time. That Virginia, D.C. area. Ohio State and Penn State have been winning huge battles for premium position guys on the lines for years in those areas. So they have a built-in area there. Well, Ohio State, they may take some stabs nationally, but it's not like they're just, boom, flooding the country every year. They go to some certain areas where they've had continued success And they're winning some key battles there because Maryland struggles to keep those kids and always will. And Virginia, Virginia Tech will do the same.
DC. And here's another thing to say to that, add to that. Larry Johnson is their defensive line coach, who was a 20-year high school head coach in the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that natural DMV, you know, District of Columbia, Maryland, mm-hmm. Virginia area. All right, guys, look, we are celebrating a bunch of different stuff going on with the University of Texas. I want to finish with this one. UT boy, grown folks recruiting, period. Listen, no team has a QB speed UT will bring every year. The D is loaded with defensive ends and linebackers. Great Ds have dogs at defensive end. Linebacker two, panic, question mark. Girls panic. It's common sense. Hook them from UT boy. I tell you what, thank you so much for the super chats. Thanks for the conversation today, guys.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We enjoyed meeting everybody out there. We really did. That was a lot of fun. Seeing Commissioner Sankey. By the way, I got to share this story before we go. Rod, you know, and Jerry knows this, I try to get everybody to do the hook'em sign on here. It doesn't matter who they are. It could be an opposing coach. It could be Paul Feinbaum. It could be anybody. Greg Sankey would not do it. He said, he just looked at me. He goes, I go down. I'm down the middle. I've got to be, he didn't say it, but he's basically got to be Switzerland.
Very Brett different Yormark, than Yormark.
Brett Yormark could learn from that when he's in Lubbock.
Very different.
But he didn't very do different that approach. Lubbock. Yeah, Greg Sankey was a class guy. A good time had by all. Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be back in the morning with Coffee and Football. Talk a little more Longhorn football. We also have an interview with Rodney Terry for basketball fans, as well as a number of other things coming up. For Rod Babers and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been the Sunday Night Live Stream. Hook 'em.
David Keith Williams, hook 'em.
Hook 'em.